is CBS Eye on the World. Here's John Batchelor.
The announcement from the Bank of England, a half point rise in interest rates that what's charged the best customers. From Europe, the European Central Bank, Christine Lagarde, a half point hike in interest rates. Following the announcement from the Federal Reserve, Jerome Powell, a quarter point rise. It would appear that the central bankers are all moving in the same direction to solve the price instability, aka inflation, that is worldwide. Is it effective? Are they staying the course? These are questions that cannot be answered except for time. However, Véronique de Rougy of the Mercatus Center joins me, my guide on central banking and its rush to make up for what you'd have to say were oversights in 2022. Véronique, they're moving in the same direction. Is that adequate? Can we tell if it's effective? Do we need to wait much longer? Good evening to you.
Good evening, John. Inflation is dropping, but it's still way, way too high to actually declare victory. When you look at core inflation for the CPI, it's still 5.7%. And for the PCEPI, I mean, it's 4.4%. And so it's still much, I mean, it's still much, much higher than the target inflation of 2%. Not to mention that the 2% rate should be an average. So yeah, we're far from there, but we're moving in the right direction. And I think Chairman Powell's message yesterday was very clear about this. It's like, on one hand, he was like, this is great. It's going down, but it's not a victory yet. We have to stay the course. We have to stay the course.
Monetary policy, I read it. I don't know it. Says 6 to 18 months lag on interest rate change of direction. Is that about right? That means we can't really know till the end of this year, maybe into 24.
I don't know how long the actual lag is. This is the problem is there's just no way with crude tools like basically moving interest rates to actually calibrate exactly and to know exactly how the economy is going to recover, especially because on one hand, you have the Federal Reserve in his message saying we're going to keep going. This is not an acceptable level of inflation. We're going to keep going. We may even go higher than what we originally said. And at the same time, the market is not believing him.
One more detail about central bankers now. They want to persuade the market that they're doing the right thing so that the market doesn't panic. Is the persuasion convincing?
Well, I think to the extent that Mr. Powell, and I haven't followed the others, but is convincing anyone, is like he seems to be convincing them that we're almost done. We're done. And it seemed the market players don't seem to be thinking that we're going to keep going. I think they only heard from his message. It seems like this is good news. There's good news. I think they're betting on him caving, and in part it's because this is the first message in a while where he brings. Where he brings unemployment into the equation, where he's basically saying, you know, there's price stability that we care about, but there's also the unemployment rate. And I can't remember how he put it, but it was clearly in there. And I remember thinking, huh, okay, I hadn't heard that in a while. And so I think that's kind of because there are a lot of layoffs. And I think people are saying he's going to cave.
Let's move to politics of another kind, the Inflation Reduction Act of 2022. It's very upsetting to the Europeans because it looks like subsidies. You have a column in Creators Syndicate indicating that the Democratic Party has committed itself to picking winners and spending an enormous amount of money to pick those winners. What does this tell us about the immediate future and not only what the job is of reducing inflation, but also of the green energy? Do they believe it? Or is this a jobs program for people who vote the right way?
I think they believe it. I mean, I think for some of them, it's even a religion. The climate issue is even a religion. Of course, they can't help themselves to actually talk about jobs at the same time, which these things just shouldn't have anything to do with one another. But I think this is kind of a way to kind of sell the whole thing. But I do think they believe it. The problem is that they're completely inconsistent. Because on one hand, they give a lot of subsidies. And on the other hand, they do a whole lot of things that go directly in the way of facilitating the green revolution.
You write that what we have now is the example from earlier in the Department of Energy looking for Solyndra. Are they making other Solyndras in the green? It's called the Inflation Reduction Act. It's essentially a package about green technology, renewables. Are they creating other Solyndras, or is that something that they've solved?
No, there's nothing. They haven't solved anything. They haven't solved anything. The government doesn't actually have the ability to distribute tax credit or other government subsidies in a way that is going to only give money to those companies that have been denied by banks or have been denied by private investors, but have a potential for enormous growth. Because that's kind of what's underneath this idea of government intervention. The government is stepping in because the private sector isn't, because the government is not able to see that these companies could have an enormous potential in term of growth. And somehow the government can see which of these companies are going to actually prosper. And of course, they absolutely do not have a way to pick this company, certainly any better. I would argue that the private sector does this remarkably well. And the fact that not every business is actually getting capital or getting stuff is not because it's like there's a failure of the market. It's a feature of the market to not, you know, direct a lot of capital towards companies that are not going to be prospering. So yeah, absolutely. The other thing that they're doing is like they're going to be funding a fair amount of Solyndra, or projects that go nowhere, or projects that go somewhere, but in a way are not adjusting to continue innovating in a way to make them relevant at the time that their products hit the market. And they're also giving a lot of money to a lot of companies that do not need that money. I mean, they're very happy to take the money, whether it's in the form of tax credits, whether it's in the form of subsidies, whether it's in the form of loans and loan guarantee, but they don't need that money. They would still be doing what they're doing independently, regardless of the government support.
Final question. The Europeans collectively are saying that the Inflation Reduction Act is protectionism. Is that accurate?
Yes, it is. It is accurate. I mean, it is industrial policy. The whole point of it is to hyper-privilege your own industry. And it is also done, it's paired with this notion of make in America, you know, like only use, you know, don't produce your stuff abroad and let's not forget that a lot of the Trump tariffs are still in place. So yeah, it is protectionism.
And therefore, we've made our allies unhappy. Véronique de Rougy, reminding us all that politicians are inconsistent. When they are going in one direction, they can reverse themselves momentarily. She is traveling, and I thank her for the endorsement of Chairman Powell. I took heart from his remark, but I missed that part about unemployment. That's politics. This is CBS Eye on the World. I'm John Batchelor.
Take a look under your bed. Find stuff under there? What about jobs? No? Now try your basement. There's a pair of overalls that overall you're not so into anymore. A perfectly good laptop that hasn't sat in your lap in months. And even more stuff, but still no jobs? Well, you really have both. See, stuff is defined as household articles considered as a group. Sometimes this stuff is no longer needed. Wait, no longer needed? That can't be right. Because remember those jobs you were looking for? Those are really needed, and they're the stuff inside your stuff. Even inside that winter coat that moved with you to Phoenix. Our job is to unlock those jobs, and it starts when you donate your stuff to your local Goodwill. Here's how we do it. When you donate to Goodwill, we sell your stuff to provide job training for people right here in your community. So just by teaming up with Goodwill, you help create jobs. And isn't that worth parting with the leftover keytar from your 80s cover band? Goodwill. Donate stuff, create jobs. Find your nearest donation center at goodwill.org. A message from Goodwill and the Ad Council.